Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Canty and Golic Jr., Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. We're going to talk to some guests here. Ryan Clark's going to join us in about a half hour on the show here. Guy who certainly knows a thing or two about the state of Louisiana, a native down there, an LSU alum, certainly saw up close a lot of what Sean Payton and the New Orleans Saints were able to do. As the conversation certainly going to continue to stick there, we'll get you sound from Sean Payton's press conference where he announced he was stepping down as head coach of the New Orleans Saints. We got that. We got AD's return to Chris's Los Angeles Lakers tonight against the Brooklyn Nets. And, Chris, the Baseball Writers Association is going to end a decade of one of the greatest sports talk radio ideas known to man, one of the best conversations. It's on the greatest hits of every sports talk discussion ever had. Barry Bonds' candidacy for the Hall of Fame here, his 10th and final appearance on the ballot this year, is for sure going to end in ruin. They're not going to put him in the Hall of Fame, and it's just not going to hit the same when we're talking about the Veterans Committee or the Modern Era Committee or anything like that.
No, but it's crazy that a 500-500 guy is not going to be included in what is supposed to be a museum that preserves the history of the game. I know we got plenty of time for that conversation a little bit later on, but it's just crazy to think that this is the last year that Schilling, Barry Bonds, and Roger Clemens are going to be eligible for the Baseball Hall of Fame. We'll see if the Baseball Writers of America do the right thing. Gojo, here's betting that they probably won't.
Yes, and the right thing in this is to put all the guys that you have some weird moral thing with who are really great at baseball into the museum that's supposed to honor the people that are really great at baseball.
I can think of some other guys that did some things that are morally a little outside of the box that are enshrined in Cooperstown. Just going to put that out there.
Huh, it's almost like this is inconsistently applied and dumb, and we should just stop trying to play moral police and let the good baseball players be talked about with the other good baseball players. But what do we know? We'll get to that news as it comes down, probably in the next hour or so here on the show. But the news we had at the top of the last hour, Sean Payton stepping down as the New Orleans Saints head coach. He had his press conference down there on Airline Drive and was asked why now. Here was the response that Sean Payton gave to the media.
Every year you go to training camp, and the one unique thing about our job is it's entirely different than your summer. And I don't know if it was a year earlier, maybe, depending on when Drew retired. Look, he and I never discussed when his last game would be or when I'd be finished. I just felt like this season, it was challenging for everyone. But, man, I felt like it was time. You know, I kind of knew maybe heading into training camp this might, but you don't share that with anyone. You think, well, let's see how the season goes, and we're working hard, and I felt the time was right for me. I felt the time was right, and it's something that I've been thinking about.
Well, and Chris, man, if you were someone on the edge like that, we've talked about this ad nauseum. Once you start thinking about retirement, you're probably pretty close to there. COVID seasons, I'm sure, did not help that, all the restrictions and different ways you had to go about all this. And what he just mentioned, you didn't have your Hall of Fame quarterback and your roster looks like it's going to be really cap-strapped going forward. Those don't sound like fun things to contend with if your heart's already not all the way in.
Yeah, and the COVID piece is probably a little bit understated in all of this, Gojo, because you're right. I think they're like dog years when you factor in the degree of difficulty in trying to transition into life after Drew Brees, and then on top of that, having to deal with all of the restrictions. Remember that game that they had earlier in the season against the Carolina Panthers where half the staff was out? Like that's a lot of, you know, navigating in terms of trying to figure out how you can, you know, put a staff together and put a team together that can be representative of what your program is all about. So, yeah, I'm with you on that one. That's probably one of those situations where Payton is saying, let me take a step back from the game, take a deep breath, jump into television, which is something that we've seen Sean Payton do throughout his coaching career down in New Orleans, like sitting there in the offseason having opportunities to sit in when his team was eliminated from the playoffs and talk about the teams in the playoff field. It's something that he's loved to do. So I could absolutely see him sitting at a desk and being able to analyze and break down the game and add value that way, but also being able to stay close to the game and monitor potential vacancies that might be available to him, just in case he does get that itch to step back onto the sidelines and put the headset on. I got to believe that at 58 years old, there's a strong chance that that happens at some point in the foreseeable future. It just might not be in 2022.
Yeah, Chris, I think that's a really great point, is the age and all of this. Age and ability are going to matter in this conversation. People always bring this up. In my defense, every time someone talks about Notre Dame joining a conference is, listen, if you could, you would. Meaning if your favorite team had the opportunity to not do that, you would go and play by your own rules if it were possible. But most can't. Sean Payton, if he wants to step away for a year, take a break, because, man, coaching is its own unique brand of grind. He's going to be a valuable enough commodity on the backside to walk back in to one of the best jobs around the league if it comes open whenever the hell he wants in all of this one. And we've seen, Chris, Herm Edwards, who was great for us, a great teammate at ESPN for a long time, the way that these former coaches who get into media talk about what they miss from the game once they get a little bit of time away from that constant grind, it's insane. They're built different than the rest of us here, talking about missing being out, having the grass under their feet, being in that dark room with the clicker in their hand. You got to be wired a little bit different to do what these guys do. And most of them, when they take a breath, start looking longingly back at the one place that they can get their fix. And to your point, they can do that a lot longer than any of us can go out there and physically try and play the game on the field.
Yeah, no doubt. And when it comes to coaching versus being an analyst or being a member of the media, like with coaching, it's not subjective. It's black and white. It's binary. You either win or you lose, and you can keep track of that. That's why you have team records. When you're a member of the media, you know, there is no scoreboard. You don't know after you've done a show whether you've won or whether you've lost. I guess the closest thing you get to that is ratings, but there's always that competitive side of people that have done it at a high level that kicks back in, and a lot of them end up gravitating toward being a part of one of these organizations, being a part of the game in that way, just because you have the opportunity to compete for wins and losses and to compete for championships. And so Sean Payton, we already talked about it. He's fourth among active coaches with wins. He's tied with Pete Carroll at fourth, and he's probably considered, along with Andy Reid, the best offensive mind the game has to offer. So I couldn't imagine a world where we don't see him back in the NFL at some point, where we're starting to see a lot of coaches these days coach into their late 60s, and in the case of a couple of them, early 70s. So I don't think that Sean Payton, I don't think this is a goodbye for Sean Payton to the NFL. I think this is more of a see you later. And depending on what happens in Dallas with Mike McCarthy and Jerry Jones, that whole dynamic, it could be a lot sooner than other people are expecting.
Yeah, I think it could be a nice see you later in about a year in a Dallas Cowboys uniform and all that. But, Chris, the point is well served. Like, the rest of this is never going to feed that competitor in you the way that being inside football did, right? Like, even now as you sit here, you mentioned it. It's the toughest thing getting done. There was a right way and a wrong way to do the thing that we did for a long time, to do the thing that you did for 11 years as a pro. You get out here and it's the wilderness, and none of it's going to hit the same. Like, getting to talk about it's fun, but man, there's no substitute for actually getting to be the one doing it. Like, the man in the arena thing, it's become so cliche, but it's the truth. Like, you're out there actually doing something, and you're a part of something that's so different and unique, and you're just never going to find that. Like, we love our jobs here. It's great being teammates here, but you and I both know it's nothing like being in a locker room with a bunch of guys you got to go out there and go to battle with. It just isn't.
It isn't. And here's the thing, Gojo. It's a part of – it's being a part of something that's bigger than yourself.
Yeah.
You don't have a lot of opportunities in life to be a part of something like that, to compete for a championship with 52 other guys in the locker room, or if you consider the coaching staff too, you're talking about 70, 75 individuals working together in concert for one goal, which is to hold up the Lombardi Trophy. There aren't a whole lot of walks in life. There aren't a whole lot of jobs in life where you have that opportunity to come together with such a diverse group of people and have a chance to compete at the highest level of anyone in the world. Think about it. The NFL is the best football players in the world. And you have an opportunity to compete with those men to try to win the championship. Like, that's a tough thing to be able to walk away from, especially if you're as good at it as Sean Payton is. And that's why I just think that we're going to see him back on the sideline, you know, in the foreseeable future. This is not going to be some long-term absence for Sean Payton. I don't think this is going to go on for years and years on end. I think he takes a little bit of a respite. He goes into the media for 1 year, and then he reassesses and he looks at the landscape and he decides what's the best job for him.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. What's next for Sean Payton? What's next for the New Orleans Saints now that their former head coach has stepped down and left that role open? We'll get to that and look at some of the other jobs that are being contemplated around the league next year. Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
The This is ESPN Radio.
Canny and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $700 on average. We'll talk to Ryan Clark in about 10 minutes on, among other things, Ryan Clark, well known since his playing days as being a guy very into fashion. You see him dressing on NFL Live here at ESPN. Get up. Chris, we got to come and ask him about what we saw with Richard Jefferson earlier on NBA Today. Way too much lettuce hanging out here. The button's way too undone here. We got to find out if that's fair or foul.
Yeah, we got to get to the bottom of it, Gojo. But it's no surprise why Ryan Clark is so well-dressed. As a member of Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated, I couldn't imagine a scenario where he wouldn't be well-dressed. Shout out to all of the noobs out there. But yeah, Ryan Clark will help us get to the bottom of what we saw from Richard Jefferson and why we didn't have an intervention from J.J. Redick or Kendrick Perkins. Because yep. I'm disappointed. We tweeted at those guys, and hopefully they get back to us with a response, but I can't understand for the life of me why Richard Jefferson would go with so many buttons undone while he's sitting there at the desk on NBA Today. Just makes no sense.
Flew too close to the sun. We'll try and get to the bottom of all that. We've also got to ask Ryan Clark about someone. Listen, Ryan Clark is a Louisiana native, so he is surely well acquainted with New Orleans and what the Saints have done with Sean Payton over the years. Sean Payton, no longer the head coach of the Saints. This is him at the press conference that is still going on right now, by the way. This press conference started at 4 o'clock Eastern, Chris, and Sean Payton is still going. I know there's some conversation about the filibuster, but man, oh man, this guy is giving it some work right now. Good Lord.
He's just got the freestyle going on, man. It's all coming off the top of the dome. So shout out to Sean Payton after 16 years in that place and what he's done for not only that franchise, but for the city of New Orleans. You deserve to just give him the microphone, give him the stage, and get the hell out of the way. The guy has earned that much, and so give him as much time as he absolutely needs to get it all out.
This was part of what Sean Payton had to say about his heart just not being in it right now.
I don't like the word retirement. Mr. B didn't like it either. He always said, you know, retirement's overrated. We get sold this whole image of retirement by these investment groups on TV and golf courses and retirement. And so I still have a vision for doing things in football. And I'll be honest with you, that might be coaching again at some point. I don't think it's this year. I think maybe in the future, but that's not where my heart is right now. It's not at all.
1 hour later. And as Sean Payton is still going right now, one of the things he did add to this, Chris, courtesy of ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter, he said, quote, "My plans are not to be coaching in 2022. That's just how I feel."
Yeah, but I got to tell you, Mike McCarthy's seat, if it was hot going into 2022, it's got to be scorching knowing that there's a possibility that Payton could be back in the NFL in 2023. Because let me tell you, Jerry Jones has always had eyes for Sean Payton ever since he walked out of the building as the offensive coordinator and became the head coach of the New Orleans Saints in 2006. So you know that that's something that Jerry Jones would love to tee up. Now, whether or not he's going to be able to make enough of an offer to get Sean Payton to come back that soon remains to be seen. But Jerry Jones certainly monitoring the situation. And I think that's why Jerry Jones has been mum on the job security or the job status of his current head coach, Mike McCarthy, because he wanted to see how this Sean Payton thing would play out. So I would expect in the next couple of days we hear more from Jerry Jones about what he's going to do at the head coaching spot and what he's going to do with both his coordinators that are being interviewed for head coaching jobs as well. I think there's going to be more on that front from the Cowboys standpoint. This was just one of those other dominoes that had to fall before Jerry Jones could come out on the record and say what he wanted to do moving forward.
So that's going to be what we've got to monitor with this. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll get to where you guys think this Saints job now ranks in the openings, because we have 9 head coaching vacancies this offseason. It is wild. Chris, you and I each during the last break tried to put together a list of how we rank these. I want to hear, what is the list right now you have ranking these current head coaching vacancies? We'll see how close we are on this.
All right, so we're going to start from worst to first. I've got the Houston Texans bringing up the rear, Gojo.
Yep.
The Minnesota Vikings at 8. The New York Giants at 7. The New Orleans Saints at 6, Miami Dolphins at 5, Chicago Bears at 4, Jacksonville Jaguars at 3, Las Vegas Raiders at 2, and Denver Broncos number 1.
Chris, you and I were almost identical on this thing here. The only difference was I had the Dolphins down a little bit lower here. I had them down right in the – I had them actually in the eight spot here. I just think the way this situation's going, the fact that you're walking into a GM with a bad track record who's still around there and a quarterback who you're only kind of sure of in all this situation, short of Deshaun Watson wanting to get involved in that, which, again, I think that walked out of the door here when their coach did right now. Also, I just think when B-Flow left, that left. So that was the only one we were different on. Chris, the one I was actually really intrigued to see where we were at was the Jacksonville Jaguars job, because I flirted with that in Chicago. The more I think about it, it just really comes down to, I think Trevor Lawrence in the right hands can be a Joe Burrow-level agent of change in your organization. I truly do.
No, I agree with you on that one. Plus, the Jacksonville Jaguars have the number one overall pick. Plus, they have a ton of cap space, Gojo. When ranking the top teams, the Jacksonville Jaguars have the third most cap space behind the Los Angeles Chargers, surprisingly, and the Miami Dolphins. So I guess that's why I probably had the Dolphins a little bit higher than you, because they have cap space, they have draft picks, and you are talking about a team that put together back-to-back winning seasons. That's the first time that's happened in that franchise since 2002-2003. So I just feel like they do have some pieces there to work with for the next head coach, but you're right. It does come down to trusting the general manager. But when you look at the back half of the list that you and I both came up with, those are teams that are going to be searching for the same kind of synergy that Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis and Drew Brees had down in New Orleans. And it feels like it's something that's a bit of a rarity in the NFL, but teams, franchises that are able to find it, consistently find themselves in positions to compete at a high level in the sport.
That's what's going to be at stake going forward. We'll get to more of your calls on that. But coming up next here, how do the Saints go about recapturing some of that magic? What is next for Sean Payton? We'll ask one of our best dressed and brightest around here at ESPN after this word from Body Armor. All right, guys, let Body Armor Light help you achieve your fitness goals this year. Body Armor Light's the low-calorie sports drink that's hydrating your active lifestyle. It's in flavors like berry punch, coconut. It's got no artificial sweeteners, no sugar added, and only 20 calories per 16-ounce bottle. Athletes like Diana Taurasi, Donovan Mitchell, and Megan Rapinoe, they all use Body Armor Light to stay hydrated. So why not give it a try? And from now until April 30th, when you buy $20 of any Body Armor product, you're going to earn $10 in fitness cash towards select fitness retailers nationwide. Learn more at bacommittofit.com. That's bacommittofit.com. Back with Ryan Clark next on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. And as we digest the news of Sean Payton stepping down as the Saints head coach, which, by the way, the press conference just ended an hour and a half later. That man was going to get up there and say every damn last thing he had to say on that one.
I mean, so a 90-minute press conference off the top of the dome? I mean, that's better than Lil Wayne's No Ceilings mixtape.
Straight up. Speaking of someone who would know a lot about both of those things, Ryan Clark, ESPN NFL analyst, joins us now on the Goodyear hotline here. RC, what's going on, man?
That just tells you how crazy Chris Canty is. That's nowhere near as good as No Ceilings. That was... Like, the fact that you could even form those words tells me you're not from New Orleans, Louisiana. And okay. I'm very disappointed that you would ever say anything like that.
Nope, I might be out of pocket for what I just said in comparison with Sean Payton's press conference and Lil Wayne's No Ceilings mixtape. But if I'm out of pocket, then how far left is Richard Jefferson on NBA Today having three buttons unbuttoned on his shirt at the desk with Kendrick Perkins and J.J. Redick talking about the association? Help me out with this one, Noob, because I don't understand.
So I will say this. Here's what I will say. I knew that Richard Jefferson was different when he said something in the Get Up meeting, and he said that I couldn't say it because he was a non-threatening Brown. And so when he said that, I knew that we were two different guys. And I feel like a guy that would say something that, like, that I'm a non-threatening Brown would also wear his shirt with three buttons unbuttoned at the top so a little bit of his nipple can show. And, I mean, if that's what – I think he's on the West Coast. I think on the West Coast some of those things, you know, are allowed. Some of those things are approved. I know here in Bristol we like to button our shirts.
Yeah, here in Bristol we keep the nipples firmly planted inside the shirts here. And everyone's thankful for all that. So we are thankful we can give fashion advice, among other things, from Ryan Clark, who is out here dressing on ESPN airwaves all over the place here. But RC, you mentioned New Orleans. Let's head down to the boot. Sean Payton stepping down today here. I guess just first and foremost, as someone who is from down there, what did Sean Payton and what the Saints team did mean to New Orleans, Louisiana, and that entire area?
Bro, they brought hope. You know, we're talking post-Katrina, some of the bleakest times in the city. You're also talking about an organization that has never truly brought joy to a city. And for in that time, for them to develop a champion, and for those champions to be everything that they were in the community, you can still think back to that huge game against the Atlanta Falcons, the block punt, the recovery in the end zone, the Superdome rocking. I think what the New Orleans Saints became were a beacon of hope, right, and a symbol of revival. And that's in large part to Sean Payton. Sean Payton will never have to pay for a meal in New Orleans. He'll never have to pay for a ride. He ain't never going to get held up. You know what I'm saying? Like he's good on any Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Trust me. Sean Payton and that team meant so much to the city of New Orleans, its fans, its people. And, you know, even I, you know, who wasn't there at the time but had family members there that were going through that, am very grateful for all that he did for the city.
Talking with ESPN NFL analyst Ryan Clark on Canty and Golic Jr. And RC, spinning this thing forward for the Saints, the team has got some salary cap problems, the least amount of cap space going into the offseason. They're in flux with the quarterback position. Just how attractive is this coaching vacancy among the other eight NFL jobs?
It is very unattractive. The coach that sees this guy attractive was on the elevator when Shallow Hal was brainwashed as well. It's not a good one, guys. This is you're going to be on the dance floor with four monsters, and if you go take this one, you know, when you look at the quarterback situation, honestly, Sean Payton did as well as anyone could do with this quarterback situation throughout this season. You also probably will be fighting for Jameis Winston's, you know, services with other suitors in the offseason. Guys like Marcus Williams and P.J. Williams will also be free agents once free agency starts. And so I just think it's just a very difficult job to take. And now, you know what happens, right, guys? Like, jobs become attractive when the quarterback is extremely good, you know, or extremely talented. And so you think about a job like Minnesota, you know, you get a guy like Kirk Cousins, but that comes along with Adam Thielen, Justin Jefferson. You have a guy like Justin Fields, you know, in Chicago, the Houston Texans job, if Deshaun Watson is going to be there, you know. So there are just other jobs who I think have a little more that you're excited about than the New Orleans Saints job, and it's mainly because of the quarterback situation.
RC, do you think ultimately Sean Payton winds up coaching the Dallas Cowboys either next year or in the beyond after that?
I actually accidentally called Mike McCarthy Mark McCarthy today on TV, and that about tells you how much I think about it. And wow. I think it's the same thing for the Dallas Cowboys. I think, you know, when you hear Jerry Jones or Stephen Jones say he fully expects Mike McCarthy to be their coach next year, that makes sense to me. If Sean Payton sits out an entire year, I cannot see them not at least doing everything they can, opening up the bank account to get Sean Payton to be the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. And it's an attractive job. Diana Rossini said he's felt disrespected a little some because his team or his organization didn't necessarily have the juice that it needed in certain situations. And when I hear that, I often think that, man, that Dallas Cowboy job is probably seeming prettier and prettier because we know that a young Drew Brees isn't walking through the front door of the New Orleans Saints facility anytime soon.
RC, real quick while we got you, Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers both get bounced in the divisional round. What's the likelihood that both are back with their current teams?
You know, I would say I'm 50-50 just because you just don't know. You know what I mean? But that's a lot less than I would have been last year. That's a lot less than I was at the beginning of the season. Tom Brady is faced with something we're all faced with, football mortality, and not from a physical standpoint because the man can still play, But you know how it is, man. Your kids get older. And, you know, we don't get paid for game day. I get paid to prepare in the off season. I get paid for Monday through Saturdays. And those days take away from family. Those days are hard to do. You have to be willing to do that. The risk and award for that have to be a reward, you know, have to be high enough for you. And on the other side, Aaron Rodgers says he doesn't want to be a part of a rebuild. And not necessarily saying it's going to be a rebuild in Green Bay, but I feel like he feels he's played some of his best ball that he could ever play, and they still haven't gone back to another Super Bowl. I think a lot of that is him, but I believe he thinks a lot of that is the place. A lot of that is the organization, and he'll want to explore what else is out there for him. And in doing that, I think I would expect there would be a lot of people that would love for Aaron to be their quarterback.
Check out Ryan Clark on NFL Live, Get Up, and hosting the DC and RC podcast wherever you get your podcasts. RC, we always appreciate the time, man. We'll talk to you soon.
My man, have a great one, brother.
Again, everyone keep your nipples inside your shirt, so says Ryan Clark when you're going on ESPN Airwaves, Richard Jefferson. Coming up next, though, speaking of the NBA, we'll look ahead to a big-time return for one of the biggest teams in the league coming up tonight. And what were you doing back in 06 when Sean Payton took over as the Saints head coach? We will try and answer that question next here, Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. Before we take a walk down memory lane here, Sean Payton decides to step down as the Saints head coach. Was hired back in 2006. And my, oh my, how life has changed since then. Chris Canty, wellness check heading into tonight. Anthony Davis listed as probable for your Los Angeles Lakers heading into a matchup against the Nets here. Is this doing anything for you on the hope meter of salvaging this Lakers season?
Well, currently my Lakers are under 500 with Anthony Davis, LeBron James, and Russell Westbrook in the lineup. The Lakers are 8-7, so I'm hoping that we can find a way to be on the winning side of it if AD is on the court, especially given the Brooklyn Nets not having Kevin Durant, not having Joey Buckets, and because it's a home game, not having Kyrie Irving. If we can't beat those people, then we've got bigger problems. Like, this has got to get done. We've got to find a way to win. And Anthony Davis being in the lineup and then committing to playing center, which is what Frank Vogel wanted to do for the better part of the first half of this season, if he does do that, then instantly you're talking about the upgrade on the defensive end, and hopefully that leads to more easy opportunities out in transition on the offensive end. So I think it can help, but the biggest questions with AD is what version of him are we going to get and how long is he going to be able to stay healthy? Until we have, you know, a clear answer as to what that's going to look like for the rest of the season, then I'm hesitant to say that his arrival and return to the lineup is going to vault the Lakers into the top half of the Western Conference.
Yeah, Chris, I'm with you. It's going to be first and foremost about how many games they can count on him being back, because that's always been the issue with Anthony Davis. But like you said, he got to stop fighting them on the five. Like, this has been such a weird, prolonged battle with this. And it's one thing when the AD from the bubble shows up, which, by the way, partially included him working at the five. But it's another when you've gotten the version we've gotten lately. None of it's been good enough out there. The situation in L.A. is dire. He's got to go out there and put his hand in the pile at that spot here and stop arguing about four versus five. This ain't the time for all of that right now. So that's what we got coming up later tonight, the Los Angeles Lakers hopefully getting their star Anthony Davis back after 17 games missed with that knee injury here. But as we mentioned, life has changed a lot in the 16 years that Sean Payton was the head coach for the New Orleans Saints. They went from being a team rocking paper bags over their heads in the stands in that game, the Aints, to a team that really would be considered year in and year out one of the favorites in the NFC. And so we wanted to go back because, man, a long-standing radio tradition. My father, Mike Golic Sr., somewhere smiling wide right now. As our producer Shannon and company have put together a list of things to take us back, wonder what the hell life was like back in 2006. Shannon, where are we at?
All right, so for the folks on radio, you hear that Sexy Back by Justin Timberlake. That was a song that was out in 2006. Other songs that came out in 2006 include Beyoncé's Irreplaceable. We had Bad Day by Daniel, Powder.
Same diff.
Right? Hips Don't Lie by Shakira also came out in 2006. Here's another one. On June 19th, Taylor Swift's first single, Tim McGraw, came out. Ooh. At the time, Swift was 16 years old, and the song became a top 10 hit. Hit you in the feels, doesn't it, Mike?
Right in the fields, man. Listen, launched an empire right now. Taylor Smith now in the middle of the re-records. That's been the amazing part is we're getting all the way back to round where we may get to the re-record of that after Taylor was discovered at the age of 14 in the Bluebird Cafe in Nashville. But I digress.
All right. Also in 2006, Twitter was created in 2006. Facebook became open to people over the age of 13. Facebook, yeah, right.
Twitter was created. I didn't get Twitter till 2011. I thought that was when I was in college.
No, yeah, 2006, Twitter was created. It was known, I think it spelled it T-W-I-T-T-R, Twitter, yeah.
Okay.
You learn something every day, don't
First
you?
Generation Twitter.
Yeah, right? Shout out to the folks who was there in 09 like I was. All right, in October, October 2006, YouTube was acquired by Google. The video streaming platform was purchased by the tech giant for $1.6 billion.
That still somehow feels like a bargain right now, because I'm not going to lie. My brother's basically entire life, like, he is the only person that's seen the entire internet and the entirety of YouTube. So, shout out to that for entertaining my brother for years now.
So, your brother, YouTube and Body Armor Lite, that's where he's at with it.
Pretty much, man. If you okay, get him a YouTube Red subscription and a Body Armor Lite package, that guy's going to be happier than a pig and you know what.
So, Shannon, have we already gotten to October of 2006? Are we already at that part of the calendar?
Well, is there something special in October you want to mention
here? Absolutely. Okay. In 2006, we got to mention this. The All-Star game, NBA All-Star game in Houston, Texas in February. If you weren't there, I don't know what to tell you, but that was an absolutely special event. I'm telling you, getting able to hang out with Mark Cuban, kicking it at the clubs in Houston, that was absolutely special. And I almost missed it. I was just about to pass on the event when I got a phone call from our very own Marcus Spears that told me to get to Houston immediately. So no bags, no carry-on luggage, jumped on a flight from Dallas Love Field to Houston Hobby Airport, got off, didn't know where I was staying for the All-Star weekend, and somehow, someway, found a hotel room, got a full wardrobe, and proceeded to kick it with my teammates. Unbelievable weekend.
My God.
All right, so if Chris is at All-Star weekend in 06, Mike, where were you?
Honestly, in 2006, I think I had just put up my first really bad Rivals recruiting picture in high school, trying to get chose by some college. I think that's where I was at right now.
I was recruiting, too, in Houston in 2006. I was recruiting, too.
I'm going to say, listen, one of us was a three-star and the other was recruiting five stars here. Life was very, very different on all sides of that one.
A couple more things before we go. A gallon of milk cost $3.23 in 2006.
Classic.
A dozen eggs were 98 cents. And a loaf of bread was 97 cents in 2006. And really quickly on the sports front, Kobe Bryant scored his 81 points against the Toronto Raptors. That came in 2006. Floyd Landis.
Shout out to Jalen.
Right?
Wow.
Wow, somebody gave the people what they want.
Got to give the people buckets.
Floyd Landis was the winner of the Tour de France. That's a name we haven't heard in a while. And last and certainly not least, Barry Bonds hit his 715th career home run, passing Babe Ruth on the MLB all-time list in 2006.
Man. Can we get Barry Bonds in the Hall of Fame? Can we get him in the Hall of Fame?
Chris, that's the part that ticks me off. It's like I just mentioned 2006, so I was a sophomore in high school at that point. Sorry to make you feel old, but like Barry Bonds is what I grew up on. The steroid era in baseball was special to me because I love watching those big muscle-bound juice freaks go out there and absolutely mash home runs. We got to honor that legacy of baseball in the Hall of Fame, damn it.
Yeah, I just don't understand why you want to punish Barry Bonds when that was par for the course for all of the players throughout the course of that era. I just don't get why you wouldn't put him in the Hall of Fame. If you're telling the story about the sport of baseball in that era, how can you exclude the best player in that era? And arguably one of the greatest hitters ever. I just don't know how you do that.
It's unbelievable, but this is what we do with the steroid era. We make it out to be some big bad bully, but to quote Mark McGwire's character on The Simpsons, why do we want to worry about knowing the horrifying truth when we can just watch these guys mash a few dingers? Because that's what this was all about here. Coming up next, we'll get to the bottom five from the NFL division round that was next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast. You can check the guys out live weekday afternoons at 4 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN+.